Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10, and it is Friday. It is the last day as well of February. So, January felt as long as a Trump term. And now Feb is dead. Springtime tomorrow. I don't know why it comes to mind, but I'm thinking of the song Springtime for Hitler in Germany from the producer. It's the producer. I don't mean any of it. Anyway, send your Mitteilungs, that's Deutsch for messages, to us in the usual fashion on the WhatsApp 087 032 32 32. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Yes, yes, and it is Friday, so we have a show full of arts for your pleasure this morning. Our guests come from the world of music and they come from the world of comedy. Khaki Kid is a rapper from Walkinstown. He's on his way up in the world and he's been praised for his, I'll quote it directly here, rich emotive storytelling. This is NME magazine, which details growing pains and identity issues on the streets of the capital's burbs. They should just mention, you know, really cool bopping tunes. We've played him here before, Khaki Kid, and we have a brand new song which we'll play for you as well this morning, and then we'll have a chat with him. So it's going to be a very nice, easy Friday for you. And our visiting critic today is comedian Julie J. She, well, as the rules of a visiting critic, you have to get out of the comfort zone, do things they would never do, or reverse to even. So she tackled a carpentry course below in Kyrie, from where she joins us live this morning, Bio Agasasta. Perhaps, we don't know. DIY is not our forte, so that's why she went to a wood turning craft shop. And we're going to find out how she got on, basically. Very well indeed. And also, happy vibes at last for Antrishuk. Micheál Martin, who, as you heard in the news, has finally got the invite to the White House. Yes, he's as excited as Macaulay Culkin at the start of Home Alone, because all his life he's waited for this. All the drudgery he's put up with. TD 1989, sitting across from Charlie Haughey in his gouty eyes. He's just dreamt of this and it's finally happening to him. He's going to get to meet and greet the greatest mammal ever elected president of the United States, the big fella. And maybe he won't be as grouchy as he has been in the last couple of weeks. And wicked, very wicked, very wicked. So it's officially heard there in the news. Invitations for Wednesday the 12th of March. Very soon. That's a full week before the St. Patrick's Day festivities. But of course they'll make a whole week of it anyway. There's 38 ministers. Oh my God. So yeah, hopefully it'll cheer him up a fair bit now. And he'll have to send the old dietary requirements in the direction of the White House. Just a bile dig and nothing that upsets the chakra, I think, is generally his kind of his vibe. It won't, of course, be as star-studded as we've seen this week. The incredible visits of Emmanuel Macron, the French president, and Keir Starmer from Britain went yesterday. And you could see all of the cabinet in the Oval Office and the vice president on the sofa next to the two men in the Oval Office and the defence guy and Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who looks very kind of morose these days. Usually just the Irish leader comes in and it's totally empty, the empty sofas. There's almost, if any, no coverage at all, hardly, in the American press, sadly. And somebody from the Irish press corps will usually destroy the whole occasion by asking something parochial like, when is Charleville getting its bypass, Taoiseach? Then they'll snap. He'll have to give him a bowl of shamrock. And since it's an import, it could be subject to a 25% EU tariff by the time he gets there in 13 days' time. And by the way, the one thing he will have to do, and there's already confirmed they're going to do it, is invite Mr. Trump for a full state visit here. Did you see Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, yesterday? He obviously knew he had to come in, not insult him, do a little bit of grovelling. So the grovelling bit was inviting him for another state visit. And even though he's already done it before, but this time with the king. And then Trump's head, he'll probably think, oh, well done to Britain. They're no longer woke. They've replaced the queen with a king. Finally, they're getting the message. And Emmanuel Macron also had to do the same thing. Kind of gentle grovelling and then a little correction that gets you, if he says something in front of you, to kind of correct him. Keir Starmer didn't touch him on the arm like Macron did. So that's important. These are the things that Micheál Martin has to look out for. But he's just going to start hyperventilating, I presume, isn't he? And it is interesting because in the Irish Daily Mail, as we saw yesterday, Micheál Martin had that unexpected meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky at Shannon Airport yesterday. And the language has suddenly changed. The Taoiseach, yes, we refuse to say if he thought Donald Trump is an ally of Europe, but he praised his noble effort. Asked by Mr. Trump's remarks that the EU was set up to screw the US, Mr. Martin said he would not respond to every comment that is articulated from time to time. Really? Not even that one? And asked if he's, because obviously the EU was set up post-World War II for peace and so on, but Donald Trump thinks, no, it's to screw us. He said, Donald Trump is an ally of peace. And he said that Mr. Trump's efforts to end the war in Ukraine were very noble. So this is either, depending on your perspective, a grotesque display of sucking up in advance of a visit, or maybe it's bringing balance to the conversation around Donald Trump. The prevailing view in Ireland often seems to be that every comment he makes is the end of the world. But I suppose the fact is Ukraine is closer to peace than a month ago. And despite the big qualifications to that, it is certainly Mr. Trump's doing so. Maybe he's doing that. Hashtag balance. Speaking of balance, a reasonably rare burst of praise for Sinn Féin in today's Irish Independent by the political writers there, Senan Maloney. And he says, he's talking about the government, and this is the Dáil speaking time issue, and how the government is driving the creation of a left-wing alliance. He said, because of the dispute is vastly empowering and validating for Mary Lou McDonald and Sinn Féin. The government is now creating the left alliance that many electors said post-election that they wished had been there as the alternative to re-electing Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Mary Lou McDonald has been twice out on the plinth as the head of the combined opposition, which is interesting, just as a side note, because I've heard political analysts constantly say pre-election that Sinn Féin and Labour, A lot of grief there, you know, a lot of animosity between them, but you're not seeing it at the moment. Back to the Senan Maloney piece. They've all been standing beside and behind Mary Lou McDonald, Cliona O'Callaghan of the Social Democrats, Ivana Bacik of Labour, Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit, Michael Collins of Independent Ireland. Mary Lou has been measured, cogent, assured, logical and persuasive both times. And she is more than ever looking like a Taoiseach in waiting. She knows is a great issue for her own party's positioning. Micheál Martin and Simon Harris are helping to shape the United front that might become their undoing in the future. Many in the public will not have paid too much attention thus far to the Leinster House internal squabble, but if there's a walkout and paralysis of Parliament, they will be asking serious questions with a typically Irish inclination towards the underdog, suggesting the left-wingers. The underdog as well. Yeah, it has given some Sinn Féin people like Matt Carty from Monaghan, it's given him some favours really for his profile and fervour. While none of the new ministers have really landed in the public conscience yet, but they're very early in the job and they may well do at some point. Well, they'll kind of have to, won't they? But it's early stages. And as we know in politics, nothing stays the same for very long at all. Now, I'd like to point out stories that you might have missed during the week. And there is a hoo-ha in kind of like corners of the internet about Donald Trump and a giant bruise on his hand that was very clearly visible in photographs when he was shaking hands with Emmanuel Macron in particular, and also last night with Keir Starmer. And if you go searching this online, basically you're going to find all these armchair doctors who are kind of going, oh, he's getting regular IV infusions. He's injured himself in a dementia-related fall. The Queen had similar bruises before she died. This is all very suspicious. And the New York magazine brings a bit of sobriety to the whole thing, saying, President Trump is 78 years old. Sometimes older people get random bruises. Easy bruising is common with age, says the Mayo Clinic. As people get older, the skin becomes thinner. And well, there's no thinner skin there, is there, than that man? And it also loses some of the protective fatty layer that helps cushion blood vessels from injury. Well, I would have thought the fatty tissue. So many people get the best fatty tissue in a president. A lot of people saying that you've never seen fatty tissue like this. It's never been unbelievable. And it would be great, says the magazine, if the Trump administration provided detailed medical records that would put an end to all the ridiculous speculation. And it goes on to quote the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. And she gives an explanation which actually would raise your suspicions to something that you wouldn't really care much about. She says, oh, it's just one of the handshaking injuries that you're always hearing about. Going, what? People have handshaking injuries that bruises the outside of their hand, the bit that isn't being shook? And she says, President Trump, he's a man of the people. He meets thousands of Americans, shakes their hands on a daily basis, more than any other president in history. His commitment is unwavering and proves that every single day. Basically, his hand bruise is proof of his virility. So there you go. That's that. Now you're up to date, you see, on a very significant thing. But something you may not have noticed as well, it was an executive order. We should probably create a new slot, Trump's executive order of the week, because there are so many of them. But this one in particular seems to have derived some inspo from Coppers, our very own Coppers here in the city of Dublin, because he's announced a gold card for wealthy immigration purposes. I let Desi Lydic of the excellent Daily Show on American television explain. But first, a clip of Trump himself telling us about the gold card.
We're going to be selling a gold card. You have a green card. This is a gold card. We're going to be putting a price on that card of about $5 million, and that's going to give you green card privileges plus.
Plus, see, I was still getting America with ads. Quick question. If I'm unhappy with America, can I cancel my subscription after 7 days? I am curious, what does this gold card do?
It's going to be a route to citizenship, and wealthy people will be coming into our country by buying this card. They'll be wealthy, and they'll be successful, and they'll be spending a lot of money.
Did this guy just put a cover charge on America? It's $5 million to get in, but he'll waive it if you bring in three hot girls with you. I mean, I guess it beats the old way of becoming a citizen, which was to marry Donald Trump, but still.
That's a great Desi Lydic on The Daily Show. Good crack. And all that stuff is up on YouTube as well, worth dipping into. Now, Ard O'Hanlon was on the telly across the water there yesterday, and he made a brand new friend for himself on ITV, Richard Madeley. And the two of them were having a chat about trigger warnings and so on. And they were talking about Father Ted. There's a trigger warning of Father Ted on the episode, Are You Right There, Father Ted? Which, of course, includes the scene where Dermot Morgan's character unintentionally appears to mock Chinese people while wearing a lampshade on his head in front of Chinese people. And there's a little bit with the perfectly square piece of dirt in the window that looks like he's having a Hitler moment. So the warning of the episode at the moment says this episode was made in 1998, contains language and racial impersonation which some viewers may find offensive. What is Ard O'Hanlon's reaction to this?
I don't get it. You know, you should have trigger warnings maybe going into the supermarket as well. Do you
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? Like, you know, some of the food stuffs might offend you. Do you know, like, where do we start and where do we
I
end?
I couldn't agree more.
It is truly ridiculous.
They go on, actually. Unfortunately, we don't have the clip. They didn't put it up on ITV, but they're talking about the news. They're saying, well, why don't you put trigger warnings on the news? No one is going to sit down and go, oh, the news is on. This should be fun. And this, I found it very upsetting at the end. There should have been a trigger warning. Good crack there. Also, yeah, the trigger warnings. Yeah, I mean, the episode, as we know, because we know it so well, highlights racism, actually portrays it and conveys it, not endorsing it. It's kind of insulting to the audience, isn't it, to think that they're not going to actually get that? Now, you need a story that reminds you that Ireland's the best place to live anywhere in the world. And it's a scientific report that shows prolonged exposure to extreme heat can make you biologically older. It's a new study saying that if you go to hot places or you live in hot places, hot countries, you are going to age very much worse than people in dull places like here, I suppose. Now, biological aging, very different from the chronological aging. So your age is determined by the years you lived, obviously. But biological age is about how quickly your cells and your tissues deteriorate. And it's quite serious. The findings show there's a big link between the extreme heat exposure and faster aging. Prolonged exposure to heat was linked to an increase in biological age. It'll basically age you by more than 2.5 years compared to people who are in dull places like here. And the effects are comparable to smoking. People with higher biological age are more vulnerable to conditions like heart disease, cognitive decline and frailty. And of course, people are experiencing more extreme heat these days because of climate change. Extreme heat is defined as temperatures above 32 degrees or more, and they age faster at the molecular level. So they're at greater risk of looking a bit bent down and wrecked. So there we go. Ireland is the best place to live. If only we can give up the drink, the bitterness, maybe do something about the wind and the insatiable appetite for Carvery's. We'll all look hot in our 50s and our 60s and beyond. We're going to be chatting to this young fella, and it is Friday. This is a good tune, brand new music from the Khaki Kid.
Two.